Welcome, Lagos. Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock. It's Borderlines time, the only show that takes you beyond borders. So today we have a very, very special show. This week, I was invited to sit for an interview with Hamas, Dr. Ghazi Hamad, who is the Minister of Social Development in Gaza, who is a member of Hamas. Okay, I sat with him in Abuja and he said I could ask any questions that I wanted. In actual fact, I had so many questions, we did run out of time. That full interview will be available on Nigeria Info YouTube. Okay? Nigeria Info 99.3 on our YouTube channel. However, as a result of that interview, because of course, we like to give a right of reply, we will be playing two parts of that interview. After the first part, we will open calls. If you want to call, if you have any questions, any conversations, any comments, you will be able to make it. And then after the calls, we will open up, we will play the second half. And then you'll be able to call again. And immediately after that, which is at 5 o'clock, I have a special guest. The Israeli ambassador to Nigeria, Michael Freeman, will be responding to what Hamas said on that interview. So as I said to you, we have an incredibly special show today. At 5:30, we will also be talking Senegal. You know what's happening in Senegal? Macky Sall, the president, has moved their elections. I think he's moved it twice now, and it's against the constitution, and they've been to court, and he's been told, according to the constitution, what you did is wrong. So he's in trouble. Senegal is also being known as the most, or one of the most, stable democracies in Africa. So why is Macky Sall trying to destabilize one of the most, you know, stable countries in Africa? Why? What's going on? If you ask Macky Sall, when I saw his interview, he said they're trying to make him out to be a dictator, but that's not within his character. Well, I'll be talking to Ernesto Han, who is a marketing consultant in Senegal. He will be discussing all of this with me. So right now, I'm going to go straight to the first. Do not call. Wait till after the first part of my interview. It was a live interview. It was exclusive. They asked to be interviewed. And of course, we're press. We responded. And they actually sat with us for a very long time. It's my pleasure. Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you're listening to, the Nigeria Info Borderlines exclusive interview with Dr. Ghazi Hamad of Hamas. Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome to a special edition of Borderlines, the show that takes you beyond borders. Today we have an exclusive interview with perhaps the most talked about group presently in the world. You've heard of Israel. You've heard of Palestine. You've heard of what happened on the 7th of October last year. You heard that Hamas invaded and attacked Israel on the 7th of October last year. You would have heard about Hamas. You'd have heard about UNRWA, you'd have heard about the UN. But most importantly, you would have heard about Palestine. You would have heard of the word genocide. You would have heard of the ICJ. Well, today, it is my pleasure and an absolute honor to have a special, exclusive, in-person interview with Dr. Ghazi Hamad, who is the Special Political Bureau, a member of the Special Political Bureau in Gaza. Dr. Ghazi, welcome.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much for actually agreeing to this interview.
Thank you.
An exclusive, and I know we've got a lot to cover. So you heard me say in my introduction, many, in fact, up until 710, would not have heard of Palestine. Because let's think about it. We have the young generations now who are just learning about it on social media. But even more so is, many would not have heard of Hamas up until 710. Tell us about Hamas and how Hamas was created.
Thank you very much for receiving us. And I am so happy to be and so glad to be here in Nigeria. I think it's a good opportunity to explain much about the situation in Palestine, because maybe some people in Africa are confused about what's running here. You know, first of all, we as Palestinians, we were in this land for more than, not 7,000, maybe more than 10,000, 20,000 years in Palestine, for long and longest history. And I just want to guide you to one point. When the Jews were oppressed in Europe in 1940, 44, 45, in the Second World War, and they expelled totally from Europe and from France, Germany, Austria, everywhere. We are the only people who open our gates for the Jews to receive them in Palestine, give them protection, give them food, give them everything, and consider them as guests. But unfortunately, they were supported by the British mandate and put the knife in our back and started to destroy our people there, to attack our people, to establish their state in the skulls and the blood of the Palestinian people. And they sent people outside. More than 1 million people were expelled from Palestine. So Palestinians were existed all the time in Palestine. And you know that the theory of Israel, that they have to build their state and their homeland in Palestine. And they claim that this is was mentioned in Bible and so on and so. And we as a Palestinians know that we are not coming from the moon. We are in this land. And we received the Jews from all over the world in order to give a kind of shelters, but really they did not respect and put it in consideration. They do it in opposite way. They started to kill the Palestinians, to expel Palestinians, to destroy their villages, to commit more massacres against our people, and do everything evil against us by support at that time with the British occupation. And the occupation started from this point in 1948. And you know now most of the people, Palestinian people, are outside now. We have about 7 million Palestinians in diaspora and scattered in different countries, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, in Europe, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, everywhere. And Israel now put that this land of the Jews. They bring the Jews from all over the world, from France, South Africa, from Russia, everywhere, to live in the heart of Palestine. And this created the beginning of the conflict. They considered that Palestinians belong to them. We, as Palestinians, started to struggle against the occupation, because really, we were tortured by all kinds of torture against us. For example, my father killed by the Israelis, my uncle killed by the Israelis, many people of my relatives. Everywhere you go, you will find the victims of the occupation.
Let me ask you at this point, you said your father was killed by Israelis, your family. Where were you born and where are you from in Palestine? What's your history?
My parents were born in a village called Yibna. It's part of Tel Aviv. And all of Palestinians, 75% of the Palestinians are refugees. And they are not, as I said, they are in the same, in this holy land. And I was born in Gaza. I also based in Gaza now. I left Gaza before the war for some days, but I could not now go back until there'll be ceasefire.
So your parents were from the village, which is now part of Tel Aviv.
Yes.
Right. And they were pushed out in 1948.
I visited in maybe in 1982, 83. I visited their homes, but they destroy everything there.
Right.
We remember, we have sweet memories at that time, because we have gardens, we have trees, we have mosque here, houses, wells, water wells. You have a good memory. We are very connected to the Palestine. It's not easy now to tell them that you have to expel them outside. And now Israel put it in their mind that this excluded, this is for the Jews. And you know, this is a big mistake. You want to gather Jews from, the Jews are living in different Arabic countries. It is not something good for you to gather the Jews in order to put them in one land. We as a Palestinian, we as a Muslim, for example, we spent in Spain for 5 centuries, 500 years. But I don't say that now Spain is belong to the Muslims. So we respect, look, I don't want to say that. We have no problem with the Jews. And we are not fighting against the Jews or against the Christians. We are fighting against the occupation.
Okay.
Because as a Palestinians, we deserve a state and to live like any people in the world. And the, as I said again and again, that the source of all evils and tears and the blood is the occupation.
Okay. Let's go back a little bit. Mohammed Yazin was the person that was working with the Israelis. Mohammed Yazin was the person that was building schools in Gaza, right? Tell us what happened between Mohammed Yazin and Hamas. Israel.
I know that the founders of Hamas is Dr. Sheikh Ahmed Yassin.
Yes.
And I know the group because I'm very close to them. And you know, Hamas was established in 1987. And I think we decided to establish Hamas at that time. In spite that we have, before that, we have what's called as a Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamic trend in the Palestinian society. And we have different activities, social, education, in the medical aspect, in all aspects of life in order to serve people. But I think when we started the first intifada in 1987, and Israel started to attack our people there, and we what's called the revolution of stones. At that time, we established Hamas in order to fight against the occupation, in order to organize people under the slogan, liberation of the homeland, the end of the occupation. And in addition, that Hamas is not only the military. Hamas is now working in the social aspect, in education, building schools, medical centers. We help orphans there. We have school for the orphans, for disabled. We try to help people. Because of this, no one can accuse Hamas as a terrorist organization.
We'll come to that. But we do know, and it is on record, that Israel said they are working with Yazin. They are working with Hamas. The question is, what went wrong? Because as of that time, we had Yasser Arafat.
How is he working with Hamas?
Well, that's the question.
No, I think that Israel all the time consider us as an enemy. They're fighting us. And since the establishment of Hamas, thousands of members of Hamas were assassinated. Thousands of them, they were put in the jail. Thousands of them, they were expelled outside. We never have any kind of cooperation. We since for more than 40 or 50 years, we never recognized the right of Israel. So I think there is no any kind of cooperation or harmony between Israel and Hamas. We consider Israel as our enemy. They are fighting against our identity, our culture, our futures. So I think it is in our heart, in our culture, we want to put in for the occupation. Israel is a state of occupation. It's not a normal state. We never seen since 1940 until now, never seen one signal, positive signal, that Israel want. And I studied about the British colonial occupation
in 1914.
All kinds of occupation, but this is occupation which want to kill the Palestinians, to delete the identity of the Palestinians, to clean Palestine from Palestinians, and just to establish a Jewish state here.
Okay, let's come to 2006. 2006, Hamas won the election. There was an election, right? Hamas won in Gaza, and the Palestinian Authority, or Fatah, won in the West Bank.
Yes.
So at that point, Hamas became the government of Gaza. Tell us, what sort of developmental plans, what development did Hamas do for the people of Gaza?
Look, it is a government of not only Gaza, the Palestinians' territories in the 67 borders, which is West Bank and East Jerusalem and Gaza. When we decided...
Hamas is in the West
Yes,
Bank?
Yes.
I thought Palestinian
No. We have minister at that time. When we won the election, won it in West Bank and Gaza and East Jerusalem. And we established this is... And we decided to participate in the election at that time in order to fight against corruption, against the absence of the security and stability because of the weakness of the Palestinian Authority at that time. So I think at that time we decided to participate in the elections, but I think we never quit for the resistance. Maybe it's very difficult to make kind of mixing between fighting against occupation and running the normal life with civilian things regarding the services for people. But in the first day, we won the election, which was very democratic and transparent occupation. And there are many foreign monitors from United States, from Europe, from everywhere. They were, and all of them, they witnessed that it was very, very good, very transparent.
Well, Jimmy Carter is on record for saying
and
that.
And we won the elections. We were surprised in the first day that all the Western countries, especially United States and European community, they said, no. You don't. In spite they incite us and ask many times through different channels to participate in the election. They say that maybe Hamas be more politicized, more be pragmatic. And when we won the elections, we were surprised that they rejected all the results of the elections, and they imposed sanctions, boycott our ministers, boycott the government. And you know, when we met some people after that, they said that we regret we're doing very big mistakes against you. And it was a very mistake that we boycott Hamas. We don't have a channel with them. We don't contact them.
Why do you think they wanted to boycott? So you won an open, a democratic election.
Sometimes they misunderstand.
Why did they want to boycott?
Because they misunderstand
you?
Hamas. They think that Hamas is Al-Qaeda, is ISIS. Is... No, I think that we
Even
are...
from back then?
Yeah.
But there were lots of suicide bombings
Let me explain. That we are Hamas, we became part of the authority in order to offer service for our people, to help our people. It is part of our liberation process in order to free our homeland. So I think we were winning the elections in a democratic process, not by tanks, not by power. So I think they must respect the results of the election. But I think sometimes when it's related to Palestinians or Arabs, they say no. So because of this, they impose sanctions, impose embargo, and boycott on Hamas and the government. And this is, as I said, it is a terrible mistake made by the Western countries. But I think maybe, as I said, after that, they regret. But after many, many years, and this created a lot of problems, even the problems between us and our brother Fatah, between the... different parts, because Israel started to target Gaza at that time, started to destroy Hamas at that time, not to give Hamas any opportunity to run the Palestinian authorities, not to offer services, because they don't
Israel.
Want... Sorry, not to give him a... Just to give a model that the political Islam is successful. They want to show us the failure, that they are disabled, we are not able to do anything. So I think we were attacked by military, by siege, by boycott, by all kinds of sanction against us. So it is not easy for us at that time now to work in the normal circumstances. So, I think that maybe give a big lesson to the Western community to understand the situation in the Palestine. And the problem at that time is not in Palestinian people, not in Hamas, because I said again and again, we are not a terrorist organization, we are a humanitarian organization. We are organization to liberate Palestine, to give our people opportunity to establish his futures, to establish his state, to live like any people in the world.
Okay.
This is our goals. We are not as Hamas fighting because for fighting.
We will actually talk about that, but I have to take you back again to Israel will tell you, when people have said to Israel, you are occupying Gaza, you did this, you did that in Gaza, they will say to you, we left Gaza. We left Gaza, we left like Gaza to Hamas.
Yes.
They built a wall. After Israel left Gaza, what were you, as the government of Gaza, able to do in Palestine after Israel left?
Look, after their withdrawal from Gaza.
Their withdrawal.
Yeah, that's right. But this is does not mean that the occupation is ended. First of all, I can say that Gaza is still under the occupation because they are controlling all the borders, sea and land and air. You could not export and import anything without permission of Israel. No one can go out without permission of Israel. Israel many times invaded Gaza, killing people there. So we were under the oppression of Israel, even after 2005 when they left Gaza. You know that after we won the election in 2006, they prohibited the entry of more than 4,000 types of goods to enter Gaza because they think this is a mutual use. They could be used for the resistance. They prevent oil, they prevent spares for the cars, electric devices, everything. And this is a siege. Because of this, that the decision of the one of the reason for the October 7, that the siege on Gaza, which continues.
We're going to come to that.
We will go back. But because they impose sanctions and embargo and siege on Gaza for 17 years, and no one take care about the Palestinians. They let us out under the mercy of the occupation, under torture and oppression. And now they blame you. Why you did that? Why you kept silent for this? Why are watching the tragedy and the dilemma of the Palestinians for 17 years in Gaza, at the same time also in the West Bank, and you kept silence?
The majority of Gaza is, and lots of things that come, is aid from UNRWA, excuse me, from the United Nations,
yes,
from donations. Yet Hamas is the government of Gaza. How is Hamas funded?
Look, Hamas, we have good resources everywhere.
What do you mean?
We have many people. No, we have many people everywhere support Palestine, support Hamas, either by money, by weapons, by political support, everywhere.
If
you
Such
go
as?
To Africa, if you go to Asia, if you go to Europe, everywhere. We have a lot of supporters because people love Palestine. They want to free Palestine.
Would that supporter include Iran?
Yes, Iran.
Right.
Yes, Iran support us with money, with weapons, with everything. We appreciate the role of Iran. They support us. There are many countries who support us. And for example, Qatar support our position, our leadership there. Egypt sometimes support and open the gates for the humanitarian assistance. Before that, we have good connection with Turkey. We have good connection with Syria, with different countries. We are looking for the relationship with all countries. But I want to say that as Hamas, we are a Palestinian liberation movement. We are not in the pocket of anyone. We are not just...
So are you part of the axis of resistance?
Yes, it is axis of
Nasrallah
resistance.
Speaks this, about.
The goal of this axis is to support the resistance against the occupation.
Right.
It is not just to say that this is because of Iran or because of... No, this is for the liberation of Palestine, to support the resistance with all kinds of support. Because some Arab countries, they fight against Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some countries, I don't want to mention the names, but some of them, yani, look, RT, we are moving and walking in the field of mines. If you have good relationship with Iran, the other Arabic countries will be angry. If you get a relationship with Qatar, the other Arabic countries will be angry. So we try to make a complicated equation and to have good relation with all countries. But we, as I said again, we are not in the pocket of any country because we feel that we have to be independent. We are just working for Palestine, for the liberation of the Palestine. But some countries look to Hamas as part of the Muslim Brotherhood. They put us in the blacklist. Sometimes they arrested our people here and there. Sometimes they block or prevent the visit of the leader of Hamas to this country. Really, sometimes we have some sadness in our heart.
Okay.
Regarding some Arabic countries.
Let's talk about 7/10, because I'm sure we're still going to come back. 7/10, how long did it take to plan?
We were preparing ourselves for since the establishment of Hamas in 1987. We, first of all, focus in the humanitarian resources, human resources. We built very good fighters, qualified fighters, educate them.
Is that the Qassam Brigade?
Yeah, Qassam Brigades, yes.
Are they young people?
Educate them about Palestine, about everything, and good training for them. This is one side. On one side, we are doing very hard in order to recruit money for weapons, for ammunition, for all kinds of fighting against the occupation, training plans, experience. I think we did a lot of things, digging tunnels in Gaza, even manufacturing.
So you did dig the tunnels?
Yes.
Yeah?
Okay. Yes, because I think it is very important for us to protect our fighters. You know, Gaza is a very small area. It's about 365, and it is easy for Israel to target any place in Gaza Strip. So
if I can just interrupt, so you have tunnels. How many miles are the tunnels?
It's long, but I think it is. In all areas of Gaza, you can move freely here and there.
Okay.
And we use it for military purposes only. And because of the thing, I think we did a lot inside Hamas for the Qassam Brigades. We have about 35,000 fighters qualified, have all good weapons. We developed the rockets and the capacity of these rockets. And even in the Marines, in the point of fight against tanks, in different aspects, the military aspects, I think we built a very good power. Very good power in Gaza. And even in the West Bank also, we worked there in order to fight the occupation. Not only in Gaza, no, even in the West Bank also, in Jerusalem. I think Hamas is very active there. So I think we have a good power. We have a good qualified people. We have very hard fighters, very strong fighters. Because of this now, I think we have kind of a steadfastness for more than 4 months fighting against occupation.
Okay.
In spite of Israel, support by United States with everything, they open a bridge, weapons, munitions, money, budget for Israel to fight against this small area.
Okay.
I think this is a big shame for the Western community to use all kinds of weapons against Gaza.
What's the average age of a member of the brigade, the Qassam? The average age?
And I think we started with people after 19, after 20.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we have good generations. You know, when we call people to join Qassam, you will find thousands of people. Because of this, you have to know that Israel is not fighting against them. They're fighting against the Palestinian people. Most of people of Gaza and the West Bank, and even outside, they want to join us. Even there are some people call us from Pakistan, call me from Bangladesh. From everywhere, we want to join Hamas. We want to fight against occupation. We want to be with you. We want to be with the resistance. Everywhere. Because people love Palestine. I love the Palestinian people because they are sure that this is a just cause. It is the right way. This is the what's called they love Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everywhere. Now we have in Gaza 30,000 people there, and outside we have also brigades of Qassam everywhere.
That was just the first part. I don't know if you've got any comments. The telephone number is 0700-993-993-993. A female only line is 0201-465-7190. You can send a WhatsApp on 0809-597-5805. The lines are alive. I'm coming to your calls now. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
My name is Michael. Well, I'm calling from Agungi.
Hello, area. Michael. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So, two questions. Okay, he can't even answer the question. But
well, we had to pre-record that interview. I had to fly to Abuja to record it.
Okay, yeah, I noticed. What happened.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Two wrongs do not make any right.
Mm-hmm.
My comment is this. Did they invade Israel and did all manner of atrocities? answer is
wait for part two. I did ask them that question, but go ahead.
Okay. So for me, it did happen. Mm-hmm. Atrocities were committed.
Yeah.
Is Israel an apartheid country?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
They also do some level of atrocities, especially the prison of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, both of them are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's no justification.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather look at what will be the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Would the two country, I mean, two land, two border, whatever it's
the called, two state solution?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can it work?
Mm-hmm.
It can only work when there is sincerity in mm-hmm. not just the Israeli and the Palestinian people,
mm-hmm.
but their sponsors. So mm-hmm. we are talking about the West, and mm-hmm. in this case, the BRIC country, which Nigeria ought to be part of, so that there will be a bipolar world. I'm tired and sick of this singular world where everything is detected by the West.
Mm.
So for me, that's the solution. Let
Thank
there be
you.
Charity. Let there be two land solution. Everybody mind your business and let's see if peace can be achieved. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there going to be a bipolar world? Well, we shall see. Thank you for that call. Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
Yeah, Francis from VA.
Francis, yes, we have a minute because you know there's going to be a second part and you'll still be able to call. Go ahead.
I want to ask you, why is it that history is full of unforgiveness?
Hmm.
Why? Because I can listen to the man you interviewed. You know, he referred in the past. And they dwell so much in the past to create more havoc
mm-hmm.
in the present,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think is right.
Mm-hmm.
So the history supposed to be a place of learning not to repeat the past mistakes.
Yeah.
And to have a better tomorrow.
But can I ask you a question? What if you're still living that history now?
Sorry, ma'am?
What if you are still living in the present reality of that history now, meaning that everything he spoke about, as you heard him say, is still continuing?
So the network is going bad.
Oh dear. Well, keep listening. Okay, thank you. Hello? Hello?
Hello, good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon. What's your name? Where are you calling from, please?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Abang, but I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Mr. Abang, go ahead. You have 1 minute before we play the second part.
I just like this, your program, and I like the way that this program is being aired, but the time is very short to underline all the facts.
Oh, it's not. The program hasn't ended yet. I just played one half of the interview. There will be another half in a few minutes.
In effect, the Israeli, the Jews are the terrorists. If we have to go back to more than 5,000 years back. So Israel is the terrorist.
Why do you say that?
I'm using this medium to appeal
mm-hmm.
to the Jewish Defense League in U.S. and the entire United States of America to desist from supporting the Israeli government, because they are not the actual occupier, the owner of that land they are occupying. So the present...
I need you to wrap up, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, I need you to wrap up, please.
Yes, the present Jewish state is a political Israel. It's not a religious Israel. So they came to there since 1948. And we also appreciate the federal government's stand on the issue, because the government is, our federal government is neutral on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to commend them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Are we going to the second half now? Okay. Sorry, guys, I can't pick up your calls, but please, we are going to the second half of the interview. Well, it's not all of it. The interview is actually about 90 minutes, 80, 90 minutes long. The full one will be on our YouTube, which is Nigeria Info 99.3. Right now, you can watch on YouTube because we are streaming live on YouTube this particular interview for this second half. And then I will be able to pick up your calls. Thank you for listening. Stay listening. It's not over yet.
Welcome back to the special edition of Borderlines, the show that takes you beyond borders. I am still talking with my guest, Dr. Ghazi Hamad, who is the head of the Special Bureau of Hamas in Gaza. Dr. Ghazi, thank you for staying with us. Right, before we went on break, we were talking about the atrocities that happened to Palestinians when they're inside Israeli jails. One of the things, two things that I'd like you to clarify for us. One, when a Palestinian is sentenced and they die whilst they're in Israeli jail prison, before their sentence is completed, Israel does not release their body. That's one. The other one is that, is it true that some bodies that Israel released is missing organs or skin? We hear about these things. We need you to clarify them for us.
About 30,000 people were killed. There are about 13,000 are children, 10,000 women. They killed about 127 journalists were killed on purpose. We have about 160 of the medical team, doctors and nurses. We have about 35 of the civil defense. You know, even the UNRWA, the United Nations, about 112 people were killed in purpose. They killed everything. Even when they asked people to move from the north to the south and say this is a safe passage, they killed people while they are moving from the north to the south. They killed people in the shelters, inside the shelters. They killed people inside the hospitals. They killed people everywhere. Even, look, they use the three things in order to punish our people. Fears of killing, you know that more than 24,000 tons fall in people in Gaza. It's about 3 times like Hiroshima bombs. First one by killing. Second one by preventing the medical treatment by destroying the hospitals. And even they target all the ambulances. Third one is the starvation. They prevent the humanitarian assistance to reach people there. In addition, this is also they now try to take the bodies and the corpse from the graves and send it to Israel to check them, even to see that if they are their hostages or not. They took more than 300 people from especially Gaza and from Khan Yunus, different places, and they dig the graves and open them and take the bodies, and they take their organs, and they, because they returned them back, and when they investigate and check the bodies, we found that I think that Israel is an inhuman country. They don't believe in humanity. They don't believe in any kind of ethics and principles. These are brutal people, look to me, because I think that some people think that Israel is a beautiful country. No, it is a state built on the skulls and the blood and hatred. Why? Not Hamas. Look to the amnesty. They accused Israel before 10 years with apartheid. Now all countries, they accuse Israel with the genocide. ICG, they accuse Israel with the genocide. Different countries accuse Israel with innocence. The neutral international organization, they accuse Israel with genocide. Israel is committing all kinds of crimes against our people. Not only the graves, not only the children, not only the women. There is no limitation for the atrocities and the crimes of Israel. I don't know how people think that we want to make normalization with this is a brutal country. This is a state of...
But Saudi Arabia was about to normalize
it is a big mistake. We don't like this.
We
ask Saudi Arabia to stop this, because Israel is not that you shake the hand which is full of blood of babies and the blood of children and the flesh of the children, and that you should not shake the hands of these people who are committing crimes every moment, every second in Gaza, in the West Bank. Not only in Gaza, if you look today, I said, in the West Bank also, they are doing atrocities everywhere in Jerusalem. Okay. They are Judaizing Jerusalem. They want Judaism to be completely empty from the Palestinians. So I think the world should take a decision to punish Israel. Why, for example, the international community and United States, they impose sanctions on Sudan, sanctions on Iraq, sanctions on Libya, sanctions on
Russia,
everywhere. Why don't there is no one sanction put in Israel?
I'm shocked
that they have this is kind of immunity.
Yeah.
That no one dared to punish Israel for its crimes.
Yeah.
And just one example.
Go ahead.
When they built settlements, all the international law said that settlements are illegal because they are built in the Palestinian territories. But no one wanted to punish Israel.
Mm.
Why they built settlements inside Israel? Why they bring settlers who are now very violent settlers who are burning our trees, killing our people, destroying our homes, even burning some families in their stomach? No one has stopped them. Now United States, I will impose sanctions on some settlers. UK,
four settlers.
But the settlers, all of them, 7,100, all of them are terrorists against our people. They are supported by the State of Israel. They are supported by the IDF, by Israeli army. They are supported by the government. Why they are keeping silent for the atrocities of the settlers in the West Bank, in addition to the atrocities in the Gaza Strip?
Israel has, if you like, elevated this. You know, the ICJ have said it's a plausible genocide, so we can use that word, this genocide. Israel has elevated it, like you said, since that ICJ judgment that was brought by South Africa. There are several questions that I want to ask from there, but very quickly, tell me, when you heard South Africa had actually put a case at the ICJ, how did that feel for you as Hamas, as a Palestinian?
We have to mention, first of all, we are very, very happy and very proud. South Africa,
did South Africa tell you they were going to be doing this?
This brave step in order to put Israel in the cage, and the first time that Israel since 1948 stand in the front of the ICJ in the biggest, on the very dangerous charge, which is a genocide. It is a dangerous charge in the international law. On the other side, I am so sad that I expect from the Arabic countries now to support this and to take more steps in order to protect the Palestinians. I don't know why they are keeping silent. They were for the massacres every day, killing every day, assassination every day. Look, we are very sad that they are keeping silent for such massacres, and we blame everyone who are keeping silence for all the massacres.
In the spirit of time, I need to ask, did South Africa communicate with you before they filed their case? Did they collect any evidence?
I think that South Africa, they put this case with coordination with different human rights, and I think we have good connection. And we visit South Africa, and we think that they are very loyal to the Palestinian cause since Mandela, and now all the time they say this is a big slogan that the freedom of South Africa is not complete unless the Palestine is free. And I think that we appreciate their role. They made a very big step that it changed now the world. I hope that they will succeed now to put Israel in the what's called the humanitarian jail and to be accounted for its atrocities and its crime in Palestine.
South Africa also condemned Hamas's attack on the 7th of the 10th. Would you accept that condemnation?
Look, I think that people, this is October 7th, part of resistance. It is not only just attack. It is part of occupation. It is part of the resistance against occupation. It is legal. It is legal. It is not illegal, because it's our right to fight against our occupation. Do you accept that our people will be under oppression, under torture, under all kind of atrocity, and we keep silent? What option are left to the Palestinians to do? By peaceful means, Israel all the time saying no, 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 no. We will never give the Palestinians any chance to establish their states or to be free. So I think no one, look, I want to take something. We are, as a Palestinians, the victims of the occupation. No one must blame the Palestinians. The Palestinians are the victims of the occupation. This is the whole story. We have to fight. We have to use all means in order to end the occupation. People should direct their question to the occupation, to ask him, not to ask Hamas, why you don't recognize Israel? Why you attack Israel? Why you do? No, okay. I think the question should be directed to Israel. Why are you killing the Palestinians? Why are you occupying their lands? Why are you taking their lands? Why are they building settlements? Why are you building this, what's called discriminatory barriers? You have to ask the question to Israel in order to understand that the source of all evils is occupation.
Okay. Israel is known for assassinations. They've assassinated a few of your colleagues,
yes,
as we know. Do you feel they're coming after you? Are you on the list?
Israel is, I think that they are ready to kill anyone.
No, we I'm have, asking you personally. Ghazi.
Yes, they said that we want to do today to kill the all leaders of Hamas, frankly and loudly, in public. So, but I'm not so afraid. We lost a lot of the leaders. And I think we now put ourselves for Palestine. And we are ready to sacrifice. And we want to do everything in order to free our people. So we lost many people, many leaders in the military wing, in the political wing. Israel killed many people. But if they think that assassination could stop our thinking, our love to the Palestine, they are living in big illusions.
Okay.
Because I think since 50, 70 years are killing and killing, assassinating, but I think they did not succeed to stop the revolution of the Palestinian people.
Okay. Right now, Israel has escalated to Rafah. As you rightly said, Israel said they should move from the north to the south. Palestinians moved to Khan Yunis. They were bombed. The more they move, everywhere they move, they get bombed. Now they've gone to the furthest. Now they are at the Egyptian border in Rafah. On Sunday night stroke Monday morning, 100 Palestinians were said to have been killed by Israeli bombardments in order to free 4 Israelis, I think it is. What do you have to say about that?
Look, Israel now is planning to attack all regions in Gaza. Now they ask people now to move from the Gaza to the middle. And after that, they started to kill people in the middle, in Nusayrat and Deir al-Balah and Maghaz, in all the refugee camps. They kill people in there. After them, they ask him to go to Khan Yunis because they say this is a safe place. And after when the people displaced to the Khan Yunis, they started to kill them. They kill more than maybe 3,000, 4,000 in Khan Yunis, destroy many houses there, destroy all the trees, all the properties. After they say, no, let him to go to Rafah. And they started now to kill people in Rafah. Yesterday, just in one shot, they killed more than 100 people. One of them is my son of my sister, other my relatives. So I think that Israel they are cheating the world, that there is no safe place in Gaza Strip.
But now, is it true that the population of
Rafah before the October 7, 200,000. Now there is 1,300,000 people are displaced there.
Yeah.
So I think that it is overcrowded, and I think Israel is planning now to make a big atrocities in Rafah to kill people and to destroy people there. Look, about the freeing of the what's called the hostages, I don't know what is the real or the actual narrative, because we heard from the Israeli side that they made a complicated operation and free some prisoners. I'm not sure about this because this information was taken by the Israeli side. Look, I think Israel put in their mind since the October 7th 3 goals. First of all, to destroy Hamas or to eradicate Hamas. Second point, to free prisoners. And third, to create a new geographical and security de facto in Gaza. But I think they failed to do that. Look, I think after, even the United States, they are afraid of the Israel, say that we gave you a lot of time. You have to end this operation. And you failed to do anything. Now Hamas is still fighting. Hamas is still sending rockets. Hamas is still targeting your tanks and your soldiers, and you didn't have anything. Is Netanyahu all the time talking with kind of arrogance? We will make a big victory. Israel will not achieve any kind of victory in Gaza.
Do you believe Israel Do you believe their claim that they freed two hostages in a house in Rafah Sunday to Monday morning during the Super Bowl? Do you believe them?
Well, I don't believe him. But this is, may happen. I don't know. This may
happen. They said they freed
them from a house. If I support they freed the two hostages, okay. So what is it? This is a big miracle, Annie? It is not a big miracle.
So, are they going to find more hostages in Rafah?
They spent four months to do that. But I think they will fail to do that. But I think now they will start negotiation through the Egyptians and the Qatari mediation in order to have an agreement or have a kind of understanding in order to exchange the prisoner or the hostages. But I think that if Israel succeed to release some of them, it is not a big achievement for Israel, because I think they use a lot of tanks, intelligence, power, aggression against our people. So, but I think we succeeded as Hamas, as fighter, as resistance, now to destroy many tanks, to kill about more.
How many Israeli IDF
soldiers? I think Israel admitted that about 566 were killed.
IDF soldiers.
Yes. Were killed, yes, since right. October 7th till now.
And how many Hamas
And the resistance on the ground is very strong, and they are very solid.
How many has been killed by Israel?
Well, I don't know.
How many Hamas Qassam brigades have been killed?
Till now, there is no. No, we had about hundreds, thousands of people were killed every day. But we don't. There are men, but some people of Hamas, yes, were killed. Some of the Hamas brigades were killed. But I don't know what is the accurate number of Hamas fighters who were killed by the Israeli side. Because it is not easy to be there. You know, that situation is it's an area of war. No one can count, can know, can make investigation. But I think that Israeli, officially, they declare about their soldiers who were killed in Gaza Strip. I think we made a very good, successful attack against Israel.
And this is where I was going to come. It's clear that you were able to break into Israel's surveillance on the 7th of October, correct? How were you able to do that?
The Israeli?
To break into Israeli surveillance on the 7th of October last
Look,
year.
Look, I think...
How were you able to
do
that?
We made a big shock. In a brief, we succeeded, first of all, to break the Israeli security and military theory.
How
they think they are immune.
Dr. Ghazi,
look, I will. We are very immune. We are very strong. We have strong precautions around Gaza, and no one can break or penetrate inside Israel. I think we have, as I said, we have qualified people. We have good security information about everything. When we went inside, we know every centimeter there. We have the maps. Even when we Israel make what's called a strong barrier, solid barrier between Gaza and Israel, they think that Hamas could not cross the borders, but I think we made what's called, this is a by flying over the borders. We have very good security about the situation inside. And I think we succeeded to look, Israel.
Do you have insiders inside the IDF?
I think we have.
You have spies.
We have good intelligence, very good information. And I think we will well prepared for the operation. And we did the operation 100% with successful and with success, 100%.
In a time where people yearn for information.
Information is quick. The larger the rich, the better.
Bits.
Pieces.
And the whole. All the details right here on Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
It's 5 o'clock.
The news update. On 99.3 Nigeria Info. Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Here are the headlines. The Nigerian Association of Road Transport Owners is threatening
to direct members to shut down their services on Monday next week. While three worshippers have been killed and several others abducted after some suspected bandits in their numbers invaded a mosque in Kankara, local government area of Katsina State. The Nigerian military neutralized a total of 254 terrorists nationwide in the last 1 week. And President Bola Tinubu has arrived at Addis Ababa, the Ethiopian capital, for the 37th ordinary session of the Assembly of the African Union Heads of State and Government. The federal government says the country doesn't need to import food items from other countries. The federal government and state governors are considering creating state policing. Lagos state government has in the last 4 to 5 years provided over 3,000 housing units in the state, with efforts underway to reach 7,000. And the Central Bank of Nigeria has announced an upward review of the price verification system from 2.5% to 15%. And those are the headlines. I am Yvonne Okhaifo. You're listening to 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's Borderlines with Iriti Bakare Yusuf.
You're listening to your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's
talk. Good afternoon and welcome to
On Borderlines, we go beyond boundaries.
You know, let's be honest here. This is an organization that sent nearly 3,000 terrorists into Israel. And on the most part, they were proud. They don't care if they die. All they care about is killing Israelis and killing Jews.
Why is it that Palestinians cannot go by dialoguing with these people through other international bodies?
Straight talk. No holds barred.
That's what Hamas did. And Hamas say they didn't do it, but Hamas lied.
You contradict what America's report, you contradict Israel's report.
The liberation organization died. The children, they will rise up tomorrow and fight for liberty.
Biggest conversations from around the world. Borderlines with Iriti Bakare Yusuf. Fridays at 4 p.m. Let's talk.
Welcome back, Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you're listening to, or wherever you're listening from, rather. You've heard that sort of, I think that was 30 minutes of my sit down with Dr. Ghazi Hamad of Hamas. And of course, it's my absolute pleasure. I've had him here before. He's looking very serious right now, but he does smile. Ambassador Michael Freeman, who is the Israeli ambassador to Nigeria. And he's been listening to that. So he's going to give us a response before I actually open up the calls for you guys. Marco, welcome again. How are you?
Thank you. I'm okay. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Of course. Brits together, huh?
Well, I'm Israeli now.
Aha! I got you there. I got you there. No, listen, you heard the interview and what are your thoughts? Because a lot has happened since the last time we spoke. And firstly, I must say a big thank you to you for that invitation to Israel. Okay? I valued going a great deal. So, where do you want to start from that conversation, or should we talk about where we are right now and then we go back to that conversation?
Well, I mean, we can do either, but I'll just say one or two sentences about that conversation, because the truth is I'm sitting here a little bit in shock. Mm-hmm. You know, I've unfortunately heard Ghazi Hamad before. You know, he is the spokesperson for one of the probably the worst terror organization in the world at the moment. And he just sat opposite you and spewed lie after lie after lie after lie. It's quite remarkable when you sit and you hear it. Look, it shouldn't be a surprise to me. This is a man who is excited, happy, and boasts about what Hamas did on October the 7th. He's happy that they murdered, butchered, raped, tortured, and killed Israelis ruthlessly. So it shouldn't surprise me that he lies. You know, we often, I think, in Western countries, think that lying is the worst thing that someone can do, and why would anybody lie? But then you suddenly realize this guy's a murderer. He's happily murdered, raped, butchered, tortured, burned people alive. Well, lying won't be a problem for him. So it's just always a little bit of a surprise when you hear someone just lie after lie after lie.
Which part of what you actually heard, can you point to a couple of parts that you believe is a lie?
Sure. I mean, I don't even know where to start. But, you know, I mean, we can start with some of the big ones when he says Israel's not interested in peace. And we can talk about the offer made in 2000 at Camp David. We can make the offer made in 2008 by Ehud Olmert. We can talk about the withdrawal from we can talk about withdrawal from Gaza in 2005. He said that he's got no idea what happened on the other night. He knows very well that two hostages were released and that the people killed were those people protecting him and were those the terrorists standing around him. He knows very well where the hostages are being held. He knows very well what's going on. When he made a statement, he said, you know, they've dug up the graves to take away the bodies and then they don't give them back. And then his next sentence, he said, well, they do give them back and they steal their organs. Well, I mean, come on, that's clearly a lie and it's clearly ridiculous. Firstly, it's an outrageous blood libel. This is the old anti-Jewish thing about stealing the blood of non-Jews that the Jews used to do. It's from the 1600s in Britain. And you know, it's clearly wrong. I mean, when somebody's dead and in the ground, I don't need to tell you, you're an educated woman. There is no use for an organ. An organ is utterly useless once someone's dead and buried. So what would Israel be stealing organs for? It's a lie. It's a clear lie. We would never do it. I know that's another one. When he talked about, you know, he said to you, I know exactly how many people have died in Gaza, but I've got no idea how many of them are fighters because, you know, it's a war. And how can you possibly know exact numbers? And how can you possibly know exactly what's going on? Well, a minute before that, he seemed to claim that he knew exactly how many people had died, exactly how many were children, exactly how many were women. Well, but all of a sudden, when you say, well, how many were fighters? He said, there's no possible way of knowing. So look, the guy is just full of lie after lie after lie. He said in the interview that they'd never hurt a civilian, they'd never target anybody. Again, lie after lie. We know that on October the 7th, there were 1,200 Israelis that were murdered, that there were women and children, 50% of the people were under the age of 24, that we know that there were 14 children under the age of 10 that were murdered, there were 16 over the age of 80 that were murdered. We know that women were raped en masse. We know that 350 young people were murdered at a music festival for dancing and singing and being at that music festival. So, you know, virtually every sentence that came out of his mouth was a lie.
Right, okay. Well, I expected you'd say that. But here's one thing he did say, that history does actually, or should I say, history confirms the fact that the Palestinians have been under occupation for 75 years. Are we agreed on that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
Because 75 years ago, Israel was founded as an independent state. So if we're saying 75 years Palestinians have been under occupation, you're saying you don't accept the right of Israel to accept at all. And because from 1948 to 1967, as you know, the West Bank was under the control of Jordan. The Gaza Strip was under the control of Egypt. So if you're saying it's 75 years of occupation, if you mean the West Bank and Gaza, then let's blame Jordan and let's blame Egypt. But he doesn't. He means that Israel has no right to exist, that Israel has absolutely no right on the face of the earth. And he's very open about that. The Hamas Charter says clearly they want to destroy Israel and they want to kill all the Jews.
So the state of Israel was created in 1948, correct? And there was, right, there was war immediately after that. Over 700,000 Palestinians were expelled, pushed out, forced. You might disagree with the language, but there was a Nakba, which means catastrophe, in 1948. Are we agreed on that?
No, we're not, and I'll tell you why. I don't accept the phrase Nakba. I accept that for the Palestinians, I'm sure it was a tragedy and I'm sure it was a disaster. And I can accept that 700,000 Palestinians left. I do not accept that they were all forced out. You know, we know that in any war, people get up and they leave, and they leave where they're at, and they leave the country they're in because there's a war. We've seen it in Gaza at the moment. We've seen people move away from fighting. We've seen in Ukraine people move away from fighting. People do that in any conflict, they move away.
So you're saying that 700,000 Palestinians, as recorded, as recorded and confirmed by the likes of Ilan Pappi, who is Israeli, by Miko Pillard, whose father... No, but Michael, come on. Miko's father did fight in the 1975 war. Okay, Miko's father was a general.
But you're throwing out to me Miko Pellet and Ilan Pappe, two notorious anti-Israel people.
But they're Israelis. How can they be anti-Israel?
Okay, but that doesn't mean, just because they're Israeli doesn't mean that they believe that Israel should exist.
Miko's grandfather signed this declaration of Israel in 1948.
I've got nothing against Miko's grandfather, but you know as well as I do who your father or who your grandfather is does not mean that's who you are. That doesn't in any
Fair
way.
Enough.
We don't hold the sins of our fathers and we don't hold the sins of our grandfathers against us. Think about what the world would look like if we all held in Europe or in Africa or in other places the sins of our fathers. So we also don't give the benefit to people of their fathers or their grandfathers. Miko Pellet and Ilan Pappe are two notorious anti-Israeli so-called academics. Why don't we quote the thousands of others who say, and again, I'm willing to accept...
What about Jewish people for peace?
Again, let me finish. I'm saying to you that there is no question that a large number of the Palestinians that left in 1948 left because they were fleeing. I'm sure that some of them also felt they were being forced out. But we also have to talk about the 900,000 Jews who were expelled from the Arab lands at exactly the same time, from Iraq, from Iran, from Egypt, from all of the countries in the area where they threw all their Jews out, 900,000 of them who all came to Israel. So let's not pretend
but Israel that was one Israel
way,
was doing
one way population. Yeah, but,
no, Michael. Israel was actually actively encouraging, promoting, campaigning for Jewish people to come back to Israel. Once the state of Israel was created, there are many Arab Jews who lived in Arab countries who were quite happy there, but the minute Israel was created, they were quite happy to come back, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true. And I'll tell you now, my wife, her parents, one of them is from Iraq and one of them is from Iran, and they were both expelled from their country. They didn't choose to leave. They were expelled. If you look at the populations in Iran, in Iraq, in Jordan, in Yemen, in other countries across the area, they actually passed laws and physically expelled their Jews. 800,000 to 900,000 Jews were expelled. They didn't choose to leave. I'm sure they were very happy and they got a much better life inside Israel because they were free. But they were expelled. There is no if or but or anything about that. They were expelled by acts of law, which you can look up, which you can check. They were expelled.
Okay, let's come back to today. So you don't believe Hamas, and that's fair enough. Why would I expect you to believe him? Let's talk about right now. So much has happened. And unfortunately, that interview is actually very long, but we didn't play all of it. Rafah. So Israel says, you know, Palestinians should move from the north. They should move to the south. They move to Khan Yunis. Khan Yunis is bombed. And by the way, you must have heard him accepted that they built tunnels. He did accept that they built tunnels. He said they have tunnels under Gaza. One of the parts that he did say to me later is that... they do not use hospitals. I'm just saying, but we know that there are tunnels there. So I knew you would snigger at that.
Because it's not me that's saying it. It's not only me that's saying it.
It's who?
I'm glad he said they don't use hospitals. But today we arrested 25 Hamas terrorists inside the Nasser hospital in Khan Yunis.
Are you sure you've done that? Because I've been following this story, and as of the last time I checked,
100%,
Israel 100% had attacked Nasser hospital. I mean,
we've arrested over 20 Hamas terrorists. We have arrested over 20 Hamas terrorists, and not a single patient.
Can I ask how you know they're terrorists? How do you know they're terrorists at the moment you arrest them? How do you know they are terrorists? So anybody could stop me now and say to me, "You're a terrorist because you've interviewed Hamas."
No, but if you're walking along with a gun in your hand and a grenade in your hand, then that's a
they had guns and grenades inside the hospital.
Sorry,
they had guns and grenades inside the hospital.
Okay, we saw that in the Shifa hospital.
That Shifa hospital had a old Balashnikov, and anyway, you know that
was literally
dismissed. You and I know that. What I want to know though is where we are now.
Except two things I would say on that. This is very important.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one, the New York Times this week said that they have seen, that they have done an own independent investigation, and they have concluded that Shifa was being used as one of the command centers of Hamas. That's the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is that we have shown pictures. We've put them out of Israeli hostages being held hostage inside the hospital, and with terrorists coming in and out freely with their guns in and out on video, which we've shown to the world. That shows very clearly that Shifa was not only a hospital. It was also a clear Hamas base as well.
Okay, so here's the thing. Dr. Mads Gilbert, who has worked in al-Shifa way before Hamas, confirms that he's 101% sure, and he's repeated it over and over again, and he also said it on this show, that there is no Hamas under al-Shifa hospital. But let's come back to today, because we don't have much time.
Dr. Mads Gilbert has also denied things that have been blatantly in front of his face. Dr. Mads Gilbert has absolutely no credibility in the international
world. Who does Israel think he's credible?
He has credibility only amongst Hamas supporters and amongst terrorist supporters. He does not have any credibility in any serious forum whatsoever.
Okay, so let me ask you before we move on then. Is there anybody, any organization, any country, any person, any individual, be it senior or otherwise, NGO, that Israel thinks has credibility, who may be supporting, Palestine? Is there any pro-Palestinian body, person, individual, organization that Israel finds credible, or is everybody that's pro-Palestine not credible according to Israel?
But no, absolutely not. The question is on what issue? There are different people who are credible on different issues. And again, it depends what we're looking at here. You know, you have to understand that in Gaza, the only people who have control over everything are Hamas. Hamas are the ones who control. Hamas are the ones, you know, remember, that if you remember a few years ago, the head of the UN in Gaza said openly that he was watching, and Israel was using very careful and targeted munitions and was absolutely going out of its way to avoid innocent casualties. And Hamas demanded he be removed immediately. And the next month he was removed immediately because Hamas said they wanted him out, and because he'd said something that they didn't like. It was Matthias Schmaler, who was the UN resident coordinator there in Gaza. And he was removed because Hamas said, we don't like him and we don't want him anymore. You can check that out. You can speak to him himself. That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to understand that anybody there, this is not a Western democracy. This is not a country like Nigeria or a country like Europe or a country where you can say what you want. And if you say what you want, you're not going to end up the next day in prison. You can say it now. You could, if you wanted to, criticize President Tinubu. Mm. You could criticize the government. And you know that you could go to bed safely and wake up in the morning and everything would be fine.
Would argue, no, but go ahead. I know what you mean.
Joking aside, you understand.
Yeah.
In Gaza, if you were to get up and criticize the government, the chances of you getting up in the morning are very, very low. You would be either arrested or killed. We know that. Everybody tells us that. So anybody that's operating in Gaza is operating under the threat and under the reality of Hamas as a terror organization. And a very brutal one at that, by the way, the very, very brutal one. We remember in 2005, he talks about winning the election. Well, he forgot to mention that Hamas didn't win all the election, and it was a division of the election, and that that Fatah, they did not agree to power share with Fatah in Gaza, and instead they threw members of Fatah off the tall buildings inside Gaza and killed hundreds of them in that way.
Okay. Benjamin Netanyahu has now stated, there's now no doubt at all, that he does not want a Palestinian state. Yet you were on channels just 2 days ago talking about you know, Israel wants to live next to Palestine, next to Palestinians, you know, as two happy states, etc. But your president, I mean, your prime minister, has continued and repeated over and over again. In fact, he responded to Biden again and said he will not accept a Palestinian state. What does Israel want from the Palestinians? Because if you don't want to give them their own state, what then do you want to do with them?
Look, I think we have to understand the timing, and we have to understand the context, and we have to understand what's going on in that conversation. What Prime Minister Netanyahu said is we can't give the Palestinians a state at the moment.
No, he didn't say at the moment, Michael. He did not say at the moment.
Okay. He said we can't. He said, but I'm saying to you, we had an experiment. We had an experiment whereby we had a semi-autonomous area, which was Gaza. And what did Hamas use that area for? They used that area not to turn it into an area that was good for their people or that would improve the lives of the Palestinians. He said it himself. Ghazi Hamad said, we used the money. We built hundreds of miles of tunnels.
He didn't say we used the money. Oh, Michael.
Well, okay. Well, let me ask you a question. How did he build the tunnels if he didn't use money? He magicked them?
Well, no. I mean, I did ask him about funding, and he said they get funding from all over the world. And I did ask him about development, and he said they get aid. But he didn't say.
If that's the case, how is it that the Hamas leadership, including Ghazi Hamad, by the way, how is it that all of the leaders that are sitting at the moment in Qatar, Ismail Haniyeh, and all of the others, are worth each $3 to $5 billion? Not one or 200, $3 to $5 billion.
I would need to see that. I would need to see that verified.
I'll send you straight afterwards. What we saw yesterday, Israel released a photo, the pictures of Yahya Sinwar inside his tunnel. And in the tunnel, we showed his safe. And in there were millions of dollars.
If Israel is able to release a picture of Yahya Sinwar, why isn't Yahya Sinwar dead?
Well, because the information that we had at the time was from October, and it wasn't recent pictures.
Okay.
And again, I'm sure we're working on making sure that Yahya Sinwar is either in prison or is dead. Yahya Sinwar's days are numbered.
Okay.
He is numbered as a free man because he is, and all of those who masterminded the 7th of October.
Okay. He's the head of Hamas. So let me bring you back again. What does Israel want from the Palestinians? Not Hamas. What does Israel want? Because if your prime minister keeps saying, and he has said it over and over again, it's unequivocal that he will not accept a state of Palestine. As you've said, Hamas have said they are not accepting a state of Israel. What is it? You can't keep killing people. You literally cannot.
I'll answer. But the answer is slightly complex and nuanced. But I'll say this, and it is important. The context is important. We believe that we gave in 2005, we gave the Gaza Strip an opportunity to see what it could be developed into. And instead of developing it into a Dubai or a Singapore, and again, these are the words of the Hamas leadership, they said they had the opportunity to turn it into a Singapore, and they chose instead to use it for resistance.
Even Nigeria hasn't become a Singapore, and it's not under occupation.
Sorry, I'll send you the link of where they openly said that they talked about it being Singapore, and they had the opportunity to be Singapore, and they chose resistance instead. But what I'm saying to you is that we've seen what happened when Hamas were in control of Gaza. And Razi Hamad said to you on the program that they've got lots of people waiting in Jerusalem and in the West Bank, and they hope to do the same things from there. What our answer is, we want to live in peace with the Palestinians. So I want to be very clear. Mm-hmm. We want to live in peace with the Palestinians.
How?
I recognize the Palestinian people are not going anywhere. And I hope that the Palestinians, and they haven't yet, recognize that the Jewish people aren't going anywhere. There will be a Jewish state. And therefore, we need to sit with the Palestinians.
Will there be a Palestinian state?
We need to have a conversation with the Palestinians and understand what they want. And we need to come to an agreement and a compromise that both sides are happy with.
Okay.
At this moment in time, we've seen what the Palestinians did with Gaza, and we've seen what they want to do and how they use it. And therefore, they're not in a place where it's time for a Palestinian state. The Prime Minister is talking obviously about now, if tomorrow the Palestinian leadership stood up and said, firstly, we condemn October the 7th, which they still haven't done. But were they say, we condemn October the 7th, we don't believe in violence, We recognize the Jewish people have got a right to be here. We want the Jewish people to be here. They're our partners. We need to sit with them. We need to live with them. Let's work out a compromise. I think you'll find the rhetoric and the language in Israel would change overnight.
Okay, if... What's his name? Yasser Arafat, the name just flew out of my head, did that. He said that, but we still didn't get a solution, but I've only got a minute left. But, Michael, you and I always have so much to talk about.
But you can own that. We offered him a state in 2000 at Camp David.
Yes,
Bill Clinton said.
Hold on, he said...
we offered him 96%.
No. No, 22%. 22%, which he took back to his people, and even then, they still accepted it, and then the Israeli... And then the Israeli leader got killed.
Conversation. But we need to have...
Oh, you need to come back, Michael. We never have enough time.
But this is important. In 2000, at the Camp David, we offered 96% of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, including a division of Jerusalem, and land swaps to make up for the other 4%. Again, I'll send you the link.
That was 22% of what they had in 1967, Michael.
No, it's not. By the way, it's 22%. It's 22%. Well, they talk about 22%. It's 22% of 1948. By the way, don't believe this 22. We offered 96% of all of the West Bank and Gaza. Not 22%.
Okay, sorry, 22% of 1948. In 1948, what was the division? The division was 55% went to Israel, correct? Right. 45% of, or is it 49% something, went to Palestine.
The Arab states rejected it. Yeah, but the Arabs rejected it and launched a war against Israel.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, they were being offered less than what they started off with. Oh, Michael, I wish we had more time. You and I always have so much to talk about.
We offered them 90. They say, and you've heard this from the Palestinians, they said, we want the West Bank and Gaza and Jerusalem. We said to them in 2000, here's the West Bank and Gaza and Jerusalem. But Yasser Arafat did not take it back to his people. He just said no. In 2008, we offered them 98% of the West Bank and Gaza and Jerusalem. They didn't say, oh, let's talk about it, let's see what we can do. They said no, and they launched attacks on us. So let's not pretend we haven't offered for them to have a Palestinian state. If they'd have said yes in 2000, if they'd have said yes in 2008, we'd already have a two-state solution.
Let me just ask a question before we close. As of the time during Camp David, right, who was the Israeli Prime Minister at the time?
At the time was Ehud Barak.
Right. And who was killed? Yitzhak Rabin.
Yitzhak Rabin 8 years before that.
Before Camp David, right? And he was a campaigner for a two-state solution. My point is, when we come back to today, what we see in Israel is easily the most right-wing government ever. Okay, and we hear the leader of that right-wing government, Benjamin Netanyahu, saying he will never accept a Palestinian state. But yet, we continue, and I say we, including myself, we continue to say to Palestine, you've got to accept Israel. So why isn't Israelis and Israel and yourself, Michael, and several other good people saying to Prime Minister Netanyahu, you've got to accept a state of Palestine because both people have a right to live.
Look, the person that you had on just now, Razi Hamad.
Yeah.
Razi Hamad isn't talking to you about a two-state solution. This is a man who said, I'm proud, and I heard him, I'm proud of what we did on October the 7th. And he said numerous times, if he could do it again, he'd do it over and over and over again. That's somebody you want to give a state to? I ask you, if you were the leader of Israel, would you give somebody who said, we're proud of what we did on October the 7th, and you've seen what happened on October the 7th mm-hmm. with your own eyes, mm-hmm. that if you were given the chance, they would do it over and over and over and over again. He said it himself. That's who you would give the state to allow them to do this as a state? No one in their right mind would give this person the opportunity to come and kill us with the full force of a state. No one.
Thank you, Michael. You've got to come back. You and I always have so much to talk about. So, in fact,
with pleasure.
I dare say my interview is the one you enjoy the most. Don't tell the others, they will get jealous. All right? Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you. I know today's Shabbat. Thank you for giving up your time to come and spend it with us. Okay. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
And you.